Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina from the Nation of Yehuda, from the Yehuda Project. I was having some technical difficulties with my phone. I apologize for all of you that are on the line that is listening. I want to get to my song that I usually play before the show. I hope you like this song. Here we go.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry, don't walk on by, don't walk on by, won't you look? Cause you never know what's coming right up to you. Could be your very last moment. Don't cry till my eyes are blue. Don't say it.
Hello, can you hear me? I'm still there. I haven't gone anywhere. Sorry about that. My phone was muted. I didn't know that. I just wanted to let everybody know that all systems are go, that we're moving forward. We're doing what we need to do. We have our permits in place. Everything's working properly, and I have had a heck of a time today with my phone, with my computer. You know, and I'm sure Adonai, I was on the line. He's probably going to call my house phone and let me to find out if we're having a show and all of that good stuff. So I just wanted to say to everybody, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you so much for everything that you guys have done to help us get this to this point. I also want to say that everything's a go. We have all our permits for Washington, D.C. We have professional people that have come on board to help us do our PR work. We're going to be inviting conscious and unconscious Israel to march with us through the streets of Washington, D.C. We will end up at the Capitol building, on the grounds of the Capitol building, where we're going to have a podium and we're going to have a mic and we're going to have a program. And this is our opportunity. We call this our coming out party because now Israel is coming out. Israel has a voice to say. We have something to say about the injustice of our people. Not only do we have something to say, but we have the answers. So all of those things are great. We're moving according to plan, and things are all according to the way it's supposed to be. And then on that note, you know, I can say thank you. Also, I want to shout out to all of those who have given donations to our show. Thank you, everybody, for all of the donations that you have given me. The donations are still coming in. People are mailing them in. Some people are going through PayPal and putting them on our PayPal account. And we have some things that we're doing. And we just wanted to say thank you to everybody. I'm still waiting on Brother Adonai, you know, to come back on the line. But you know what? We have to learn in this whole situation here that love is the flavor for the day. Love is what has to hold us together. Love has to be the glue. And we have to learn how to come together in unity. Because at the end of the day, we're building a nation. Like I said, I don't care what you believe. I don't care whether you're Messianic or non-Messianic. I'm going to feed you if you're hungry. I don't care if you're Messianic or non-Messianic. If I have it, I'm going to give it to you if you need it. And that's the mentality that we have to have one toward another. We have to be there. So I'm asking everyone that's on this line today, we need your help. We are putting together brochures and flyers that we're passing out all over the country. We need your help. For those who can and will, we're asking that you go on our PayPal account. It's paypal.com. And you can put it under nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. That's our email address. We need as many donations as we possibly can get so that we can get this ball rolling, and we're ready to rock and roll. The hotel accommodations that we have for the event, for the march itself, is going to be at the Comfort Inn, and it is 1600 New York Avenue in Washington, D.C. All you have to do is call the hotel and tell them that you are coming in under the Nation of Yehuda, and we have the group rate in the room is $79 a night, which is pretty cheap. Again, the Megabus, if you register with the bus right now. We found fares as cheap as a dollar at Atlanta, Georgia. They were $13 each way. So, I mean, you know, you have to be creative because nobody has a whole lot of money, but we're just trying to do those things that are comparable to what we need to do for our pockets. And so those are the things that we're doing. If you have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. There he is. There's my co-host. There's Brother Donia. I'm going to get him on the line right now. Brother Donia, are you there? Hello?
Shalom, shalom. This is Donia from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you?
I am wonderful. I was wondering what happened, but I saw you were on earlier. My phone was on mute. And I was just talking, and my phone was on mute. I'm like, these people are hanging up. Wait a minute. Let me see what's going on. So here we go. Like I said, we have a lot of people on the line today. And I wanted to talk about some things about the Trayvon Martin case again today because I want you to understand something. And I want everybody under the sound of my voice to understand something. We're not just marching for Trayvon Martin. We are marching for all of us, for all of us that are in Israel. We're marching to let our people know that it's time to come together. It's time to stop the killing of each other. It's time to stop all of the things that we do to tear each other down and begin to come together as a nation, because you always said it best, Brother Donia. You know, at when it's all said and done, we're going to be the last ones to get fed. So we're going to have to learn how to come together, love each other, and persevere through all sorts of changes, trials, and tribulations. And the reason why I brought the Trayvon Martin case up is because as I began to research and go back to see how these people are handling it now that the verdict has been rendered and he has been found not guilty, that how they handle it. And I wanted to bring it to your attention because one thing we have to know how to do, when we go to Washington, D.C., that is a whole nother level of people that we're going to be dealing with. And they're very cunning, and they know how to turn a negative situation into a positive situation for them. They know how to change words. They know how to mince words. So we've got to be on our P's and Q's to make sure that we operate with them at a level where we can handle anything that they throw at us. So, you know, I was watching a whole lot of the things that have gone on with the Trayvon Martin case. And as I began to watch it, I saved a couple of the YouTube clips to be able to let you hear what white America thinks. Because white America has taken this incident and turned it around on us to say, hey, he was defending himself. The only thing I can tell you is he was defending himself. What about black-on-black crime? What about that? Before you point the finger at us, you need to look at Chicago. You need to pay attention because you all are you all's worst enemy. Yes, that's what they're saying. They have the audacity to be able to say, you're killing each other, so what are you worried about? He was defending himself. Did you hear him scream? That was the screams of a man that was trying to defend himself from a 17-year-old boy. So this thing has not stopped. This thing will not stop because they have an uncanny ability to be able to find a way for them to be able to get out of whatever they're involved in when it looks like racism is the flavor. So I wanted to play this clip for you so that you can listen to how they sum it up in an instant. Now, the clip that I'm going to play for you, they have, I think he is a broadcaster and an attorney, and both of them are black. And I want you to hear how black America, which I will call the elite, how they defend white America. It's just unbelievable what they've done to us mentally. So I'm going to play this clip, and I want you to listen to it in its entirety, and then we'll come back and you guys can tell me what you think. Okay, here we go.
Base Fox News political analyst Juan Williams, radio talk show host, civil rights attorney Leo Terrell. Juan, the jury has spoken. All the activists, they were able to get a special prosecutor. They got they bypassed the grand jury. They got a case. They got a judge. All the evidence presented and an acquittal happened. Why doesn't it just end here?
Because I think the verdict, Sean, really lacks a sense of wisdom or compassion for the fact of a dead child and the suffering that the parents and that community have gone
through. You don't like the verdict?
Oh, I like it. I mean, I respect it. I think that technically, I don't think the prosecutors proved that they met the bar for a second-degree murder. And so technically, what the ladies on the jury did was to say they didn't satisfy the charge, and therefore Zimmerman is not guilty. But I think that's someone who is operating on a very technical, limited level without a sense of, my God, there's a dead 17-year-old laying on the ground here, and he was the one who brought the gun.
I don't want to get into a big battle over this because I know tensions are really high. I'd like to see the president, the attorney general, maybe bring the country together. But that 17-year-old kid broke a guy's nose, got on him, straddled him, MMA, ground and pound style, according to witness. That was the only eyewitness, Juan. And also, it was not put into evidence. He was involved in fighting. His text messages.
Wait a second. I believe that Zimmerman's the one who had martial arts training.
Well, Trayvon Martin had it on his phone.
Well, I don't know what he had, but I know that Zimmerman had been trained this way, and I know that he had a gun, and I know that he was the one who initiated this confrontation by following this young man.
Did you hear
even after he was told not to, and then got out of the car?
You forgot a main point here. The main point is that you forgot. Where is he now? The 911 operator said. So George Zimmerman went to look. And then when he said, I don't need you to do that, he was walking back to his car. All right, let me go to Leo. Leo, where do you stand on this?
Let me be very clear. Shame on you, Juan Williams. You're not a lawyer. Let me be clear. As a civil rights attorney, there was not a rape case at all, and the jury got it right. This is a wrong case for people like Juan. I don't want to mention those other stations, MSNBC, CNN, to use this as a racial division in this country. It is outrageous. That jury was absolutely correct as a lawyer. And I don't want to mention any names like Melissa Harris-Perry telling people, I'm holding my black children tighter tonight. No, they're not. They're not at all. Because Zimmerman was tried. He was found innocent of these charges. And that woman who said God is a racist, it's embarrassing for me as an African-American to hear Juan Williams, MSNBC, CNN, talk about this case as a race case. You and I, Sean, disagree a lot. But on this issue, fortunately or not, this case was decided correctly. And Juan, you're trying to skirt the issue. The facts were decided correctly on this case. And don't try to say that this case was wrong. And don't use the case as a race case unless you're trying to hustle people to make money. I'm sick of this.
Well, I think that's so far off. I don't even know where to start. But what I said was...
Oh, sure, it's not far off, I think.
I think that the verdict lacked any show of compassion or understanding the fact
you
that
don't do that
child
in a criminal
and
court.
The suffering.
You don't show compassion. It's not
like
a question
I say,
of compassion.
I got to say that, you know, the reason that we have juries, the reason that we talk about having community people come in to be the final arbiter is because it's not simply about the technical aspect.
Now,
we don't put this in a computer.
That's what it's all about, Sean.
Hang on, Leo. You know, look, Leo, I was someone who thought the O.J. Simpson verdict was an absolute abomination.
Well, don't bring up O.J. here. This is not an O.J. case.
I'm just saying.
Why are you bringing up O.J.?
Because I think that was a jury that made a mistake, Leo.
What? That's not the issue here, Juan Williams. All you're doing is trying to bring up a case that does not have any relationship like the Trayvon Martin. You're just like Eric
Let me jump in, guys, for a second. I think what Leo is saying, and I'm a little shocked here, Leo. I don't think we've agreed a lot. But based on the law.
It's the first time, it might be the last time.
The justifiable use of force law, a one eyewitness law, ground and pound, and the injuries consistent with that, that is overwhelming, incontrovertible evidence based on the law. There was no other choice for this jury. You say, well, they needed to show compassion. Well, that's not the forum for this. They are ordered. They were given very specific instructions, Juan. You're asking them to do something they're not allowed to do.
No. Here's the question. And I think the prosecution, as I said, did not reach the bar that said this is evidence of a second-degree murder conviction. I just don't think they did it. But so what I do think, Sean, is that if you take into account the fact that this man was stalking the young man and the fact that
he was
the one
he was
who
not
brought,
stalking.
No, that's not even in dispute.
Yes,
and then he's the one who gets out of the car. I think on all these, if the jury stops and says, wait a second,
all Wong Lim is demonstrating today is he does not know what he's talking about as far as what the purpose of a criminal justice system is all about. Here's the bottom line. George Zimmerman was found not guilty, and the evidence did not prove second-degree murder and manslaughter. Leave it alone at that. Don't use it as a rape case. It's a wrong case to use as rape. Juan Williams, MFCC,
I'm not using this as a rape case. I'm using
you
it as a case where I, as a dad, you know, I don't care. I don't know if you're a child, Leo, but I know that John does. And if your child, that if your child goes down to the store and comes back and some guy's following it, gets in a fight and shoots him, and they say, well, your kid, once the fight started,
those
your kid was beating him up.
What case are you talking about?
This is the craziest thing I ever heard.
What case are you talking about? What case are you talking about? That's not the fact of the Zimmerman case. You just cut out all the facts. You just proof. Well, of course, because you want to make money on it. You want to play the race card. You are playing the race card.
And last question, Ron. I feel bad for the Martin family.
Yeah,
but why did he punch George Zimmerman, straddle him, and beat him?
Trying to figure out, and I can't figure out for the life of me how he got that gun out from underneath him with that boy sitting on his chest. You understand? They never went there, you know, so, you know, in this society, all you have to do is say some stuff out your mouth, whether it's true or not, and the people that are in agreement, they'll find the ears to the people that agree with that philosophy. You understand? So, you know, we're going to go through these things until we gather ourselves. We can stop all of this mess if we gather it ourselves, because the Almighty is trying to bring righteousness into the earth. And we the people of righteousness. We the people of the Almighty. So we got to start doing those type of things. We're going to have to start setting up programs for our children and the kids that's coming home out of the penitentiary. You understand what I'm saying? They did some injustices to us, but it's on us now to make some adjustments in our life. We got to take our future and our destiny into account now. Nobody else is going to do it for us. We did it for everybody else, but nobody's going to do it for us. Malcolm X said it best: we put them first, and they put us last. I want to go a step further and say, did they put us in there at all? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, I want to know what you have to say. Please push one if you have a comment. We're going to Green Giant Graphics. Green Giant Graphics, go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
This is me, Dawid. You hear me?
Oh, yeah. Shalom, shalom, Brother Dawid. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I wasn't going to call in until I heard that that broadcast. You got my blood pressure up.
Are you calling from Sweden?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right, let me make...
Please feel free to elaborate.
Okay, let me elaborate real quick. Now, first we got to understand what's going on. Is the media now is going to try to turn Trayvon Martin into the criminal, like they always have. And we have to realize that George Zimmerman is a Latino Jewish American.
Amen.
That holds a lot of weight, because this has never been a case about race, they say, but they never brought up the fact that Zimmerman is a Jewish Latino. And it's very important information that we have to see here. Now, what was being challenged in this court was a Jewish male against a black male. And there's no way they're going to let a black male beat out a Jewish male. Let's just stick to the facts, and y'all know this is true. Everybody don't want to say it, but that's the case here. All right? Now, this turned into a white racial thing because they want us to think about George Zimmerman as some white guy, and we all know that this is a Latino man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if he was in Fox News and everybody that's defending him would throw him in our pile as a Latino-Mexican border hopper. Y'all know that. Come on now. Let's just get real here. So what's the real issue? Well, the real issue is that they're trying to take off the main focus on this, and that's that his father was high in society. He was a judge that we know of. He was well-connected. The man, 28-year-old, 29 now, got off from killing this kid. What people don't, I mean, if you look at the photos when Trayvon Martin was murdered, okay, he wasn't even on the concrete. He was like 4 to 6 feet from the concrete on the grass. Now, you tell me something. How can you bang somebody's head into concrete when you get shot on the grass? That's a contradictory right there. You see what I'm saying? The boy obviously was, I mean, if you said that here's a gun, if someone shows you a gun, you're immediately going to be shocked and either run or be scared, but he didn't even show the gun. Now, we all know the case. We all know. Everybody went through it in our mind. Now, we have this Uncle Tom or whatever the hell he is defending Zimmerman. And we know he's defending him because he's using a tactic that's always used in the media, is where they don't let you talk. That's the Fox News thing. They've been doing that since the Bush administration. Come on. We should all not be fooled by this. It's all distracting. And it's real distractive right now because we got stuff going on in Egypt. We got stuff going on in Syria. The world is going into complete chaos. Now, I agree with what Brother Adonia says. He says that what we should do with this is use this to bring us together. Because it don't matter. Even if Trayvon Martin was found to be a murderer and they put Zimmerman in prison for the time that he deserved for murder, it wouldn't make a difference because our state would still be the same.
Hallelujah.
I think that we should use this incident that happened as energy to bring us together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should be used for. In the name of Trayvon Martin, let's stop killing each other. Let's see this for what it is that this race of European Jews, whatever the hell that wants to destroy us, are still in full effect since the time of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. It hasn't changed. What we need to do is we need to get together as people, okay? Create our own economy, create our own communication, create something together, realize that this government doesn't love us, even though we are the only true Americans in this country, if you really want to get real, because we've been here before any of these immigrants got here, but yet they want to treat us like second-class citizens.
Hello. I hear you. You're absolutely right.
So we need to stop looking at them and stop giving them so much energy, because we're giving them too much energy even by talking about them.
That
what
is
we
correct.
Need to do is just, you say, okay, the devil does what the devil does. The devil is what the devil is, and leave it at that. Concentrate on coming together, working on our differences, and then moving on. That's my comment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say something, Uncle Brad. Let me try to... Yeah. First of all, Adoni, I want to apologize from last week for interrupting you like I did. That's not my nature to interrupt, man. I don't try to do that, man. I felt the need all week, you know, saying to apologize to you. You understand? My second thing is to, let everybody try to focus on us. We got to focus on us. We got to understand that them people is the cruelest people on the face of the earth. You understand? And they going to do stuff, and their aim is to never to allow us to be a nation again. You understand? So this is what we got to stay focused on. You understand? What can we do to build the nation of Israel? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, on that note, I'm going to go to area code 215, and this person is calling out of Pennsylvania, and we only say states, so we don't give names, but I'd like to introduce you to a very special person. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Shalom, shalom.
I can hear you. Shalom, shalom.
Okay,
you
very good.
Black news.
Okay, so let me know if it gets even worse. I'm outside. I just wanted to chime in a little bit. I was provoked to call after hearing that recording as well. I enjoyed the previous speaker. However, there was one thing he said that I did not agree with, and he said that by us talking about it, we're giving our enemy energy. And I personally believe that we need to talk about it because the only way to defeat that enemy is to expose them. So we need to continue to expose them. Every trick, every turn, we need to continue to expose them. Additionally, I just wanted to add that regarding to the case itself, I'm glad you played that tape. I heard a lot of emotion and passion through those speakers as they were speaking. But as a student of the law, I just want to share that the case was lost before it began. First of all, the gentleman or Mr. Zimmerman was never arrested when it first happened, and he was only prosecuted because of pressure, and then eventually the media got involved. But when they picked that jury, when I heard the makeup of the jury wasn't a jury of anyone's peers, it wasn't a jury of Zimmerman peers, and it was not a jury of Trayvon Martin peers, the case was literally lost before it began. Additionally, the prosecution put on a very poor case. They did win their case. They won their case because they didn't put on much of a case. They didn't put on much of a fight. And it was almost like a good old-fashioned lynching that we all witnessed. But, you know, those of us who are not familiar with the law got duped into believing that this man was found not guilty. No, the case was lost before it began. And the state had the chance. We all know that in cases like this, you know, the state puts on their case, the defendant gets to put on their rebuttal, and then the state gets the last word. They get the final reply before it goes to the jury. In this case, the state didn't even take that opportunity. They didn't even use that leverage they had of having the last word. They actually rested. And it's a lot they could have done that they didn't do. First of all, they shouldn't have settled for that jury with not one African-American on it. Second of all, they shouldn't have settled for that jury without one African-American man on it. Thirdly, and I think more importantly, they brought charges in which they could not prove. They couldn't prove to the degree of which the charges they brought. That's why they felt. If I was on that jury, I would have had to, by law, vote the way those women did, because they put on a case that they could not win. If they had charged him with manslaughter, the man would be in prison right now. In the end of the day, the penalty would have been the same, 20 years, 25 years, whatever. But had they charged him with something that they could win, they would have won. If charging was something that they could not win, I think the whole case was a diabolical plot so that he did not get prosecuted, but they put us to sleep. They settled the matter by having a case. Having said that, we do need to talk about it. We need to continue to talk about it. We need to know who our enemy is, and we need to continue to expose him. We need to continue to keep talking.
Hallelujah. Very well said.
Thank you.
I stand to be corrected.
Oh, that was you that said that about the energy? Well, you know, it is what it is. I apologize. No, certainly did not mean to offend anyone, but, you know.
I believe, you know, we all, I welcome rebuttal so that I can get clear on what I'm saying. You understand? So, yeah, I appreciate what you said. You understand? Maybe I was wrong. You know, I don't have to be all right.
And maybe you're right, you know, because, you know, it's your opinion, and I just stated my opinion. But in the end of the day, I also agree with you that in the end of the day, we need to come together, and we need to continue to build the nation. And the black-on-black crime, the way they shifted and spun it, they were good at that. But, hey, they were telling the truth. You know, the black-on-black crime is something that's real. We need to have a wake-up call. You know, we need to wake our people up. Because I assure you, had he been a Caucasian man, had Trayvon been a Caucasian 17-year-old boy, the conversation wouldn't have, it wouldn't have gotten this much exposure. Because they would have done something immediately, okay? They would have made sure that that Hispanic boy, Uncle, who his daddy was prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Yeah.
But because he was an African-American, and we don't put no value, this country don't put any value on our lives and our boys' lives, they were able to get away with that.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that I'm finding out, too, is that the more faith that we put in the Almighty, the more He will protect us. Thing, yeah, I mean, do what, you know, He will guide us in the way that we should go. You understand? So, my platform that I'm always on is that if we come together and start supporting the things that we say that we need, you understand? And we know the economy is folding up. So if we know this, you understand, why wait till the last minute? Let's try to get something going on so that when it folds up, we'll be able to sustain our living. You understand? We can do this because we the people that put together all of these places. Every place that we've been captive, we put them, they put us last, if at all. You understand? So we, you know, our main focus needs to be on it. Now, I'm not saying that we ain't supposed to look at and talk about the things, the atrocities, but I don't want us to get lost in that. I need our focus to be on us building a nation, because we could only people that could put all this stuff back in place is us.
I agree.
Hello?
Yeah. I agree. I agree. I just wanted to share one last thing, and then I'm going to sign off. I don't know if I'm supposed to hang up or what, because I want to continue to listen. But I wanted to say one last thing, and that is that God allowed the whole situation to happen with Trayvon Martin. He allowed it. He permitted it. He permitted it for a reason. So, again, I say we need to have a wake-up call amongst our people, amongst ourselves. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Brother Dawit, your mic is open.
Okay, you hear me?
Kane.
Yeah, we can
hear you. All right, I'm actually cooking and listening at the same time. I thought that, wait, hold on one second, y'all. I'm getting like all this feedback here. Everything cool? Okay, sorry about that. I think I said that too, that we don't need to, that we shouldn't be speaking about it. And I stand corrected also, because she's right. But what I'm saying is that I don't want to give it any energy that it shouldn't be that we shouldn't be giving it, because right now they're using the case in order to create their propaganda. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But for as in the black community, of course we should talk about it, because this stuff happens to us all the time. But we should use it to uplift ourselves and empower ourselves. Don't let the propaganda that they're using this for, because they have their own goals in mind. We need to turn it around and give us energy to help ourselves in our community. That's what I mean by that. If you know, because I said a lot of stuff, I probably, you know. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. But
hallelujah.
My sister is right what she says.
All right. I want to let everyone know, if you have a comment, a question, or anything, please push 1. We have some very powerful people on the phone today, and they are giving their opinions, and opinions is what this show is all about. We don't care what it is. If you have something you want to say pertaining to the issue, please push 1 so we can talk about it some more. Now, there's one more clip that I wanted you guys to listen to, and it's about the juror. One of the white jurors did an interview with Anderson Cooper, and the way she described the way she viewed the case was just completely mind-boggling, and it just lets you know that they still feel, no matter how far we've come, that they are superior to us, and that they can turn things around and make it appear the way they want it to appear. So I'm going to play this so you guys can give it a listen and really listen to what she says, because I was just blew back at the fact the way she said it. So here we go. Let me turn it up a little bit so we can hear it. I get my computer to work. Of course. All right. Here we go.
It was like something that, why would they want to pick me? You know? Why would I be picked over all these hundreds of people that they interviewed?
And when the trial started, what was the first day like? The opening statement, Don West pulled a joke. What did you think of that?
The joke was horrible. Nobody got it.
Not.
I didn't get it. So later, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, I guess that could have been funny, but not in the context he told it.
Going into the trial, did you have an idea in your mind about what happened?
No, because I hadn't followed the trial at all. I mean, I'd heard bits and pieces of what had happened and the names that were involved, but not any details.
So take me back to the answer that first day, the opening statements. What do you remember about them? What stood out to you?
Not a whole lot. It seems like it's been years ago that it happened. It does. It seems like it's been a very long time that we were there.
Was there a particular witness that stands out to you? Who did you find to be the most credible?
The doctor in SOP, and I don't know his name.
The doctor for that the defense called?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What about him?
I thought he was awe-inspiring. The experiences he had had over in the war. And I just never thought of anybody that could recognize somebody's voice yelling in like a terrible terror voice when he was just previously a half hour ago playing cards with him.
Well, this was the witness that the friend of George Zimmerman's who had had military experience.
No, this was the defense.
Oh, this was the defense medical examiner.
Yeah.
Okay. What was it like day by day just being on that jury?
Day by day was interesting. There were more interesting things than others. When they got into the evidence, it was a lot more interesting than just testimony. Some of the witnesses were good. Some of them not so good.
Did you feel a lot of the analysts who were watching the trial felt that the defense attorneys, Mark O'Mara, Don West, were able to turn prosecution witnesses to their advantage? Chris Serino, for instance, a lead investigator. Did he make an impression on you?
Chris Serino did. He just was doing his job. He was doing his job the way he was doing his job, and he was going to tell the truth regardless of who asked him the question.
So you found him to be credible?
I did.
So
very credible.
When he testified that he found George Zimmerman to be more or less an overall truthful, did that make an impression on you?
It did. It made a big impression on me.
Why?
Because he deals with this all the time. He deals with, you know, murder, robberies. He's in it all the time. And I think he has a knack to pick out who's lying and who's not lying.
The prosecution started off by saying that George Zimmerman was on top in the struggle. And then later on, they seemed to concede, well, perhaps Trayvon Martin was on top, but maybe was pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
So you felt that the prosecution really had a firm idea of what actually happened?
I think they wanted to happen what they wanted to happen, to go to their side, for the prosecution to state. There's a lot, you know, the witnesses that the defense had on, plus some of the prosecution witnesses, there was no doubt that they had seen what had happened. Some of it was taped, so they couldn't repute any of that.
It was on the 911 tapes.
Mm-hmm. 911 tapes and the John Good calling and all of that.
How significant were those 911 tapes to you?
The Lauer tape was the most significant because it went through before the struggle, during the struggle, gunshot, and then after.
You had the parents of Trayvon Martin testifying. You had the family of George Zimmerman, friends of George Zimmerman testifying about whose voice it was in the 911 call.
Mm-hmm.
Whose voice do you think it was in the 911 call?
I think it was George Zimmerman's.
Did everybody in the jury agree with that?
But probably one.
And what made you think it was George Zimmerman's voice?
Because of the evidence that he was the one that had gotten beaten.
Because he was the one who had had cuts, had abrasions. He was the one getting hit. He was the one calling for help.
Well, because the witnesses of John Good saw Trayvon on top of George, not necessarily hitting him because it was so dark he couldn't see, but he saw blows down towards George. And he could tell that it was George Zimmerman on the bottom. He didn't know who it was, but he knew what they were wearing.
The juror who didn't think it was George Zimmerman's voice, who thought it was Trayvon Martin's voice on that call, do you know why they felt that way?
Well, she didn't think it was Trayvon. She just said it could have been Trayvon's.
So she wasn't even sure?
No. She wanted to give everybody absolute out of being guilty.
But you were sure it was George Zimmerman's voice?
I was sure it was George Zimmerman.
And everybody else in the jury was? Except for
I think they were. I don't think there was a doubt that everybody else thought it was George's voice.
I want to ask you about some of the different witnesses. Rachel Gentile,
mm-hmm.
the woman who was on the phone with Trayvon Martin
mm-hmm.
At the start of the incident. What did you make of her testimony?
I didn't think it was very credible, but I felt very sorry for her. She didn't ask to be in this place. She didn't ask. She wanted to go. She wanted to leave. She didn't want to be any part of this jury. I think she felt inadequate toward everyone because of her education and her communication skills. I just felt sadness for her.
You felt like what, she was in over her head?
Well, not over her head. She just didn't want to be there. And she was embarrassed by being there because of her education and her communication skills that she just wasn't a good witness.
Did you find it hard at times to understand what she was saying?
A lot of the time. Because a lot of the time she was using phrases I had never heard before and what they meant.
When she used the phrase, creepy-ass cracker,
mm-hmm.
what did you think of that?
I thought it was probably the truth. I think Trayvon probably said that.
And did you see that as a negative statement or a racial statement, as the defense suggested?
I don't think it's really racial. I think it's just everyday life. The type of life that they live and how they're living and the environment that they're living in.
So you didn't find her credible as a witness?
No.
So did you find her testimony important in terms of what she actually said?
Well, I think the most important thing is the time that she was on the phone with Trayvon. So you basically, hopefully, if she heard anything, she would say she did, but the time coincides with George's statements and testimony of time limits and what had happened during that time.
Explain that.
Well, because there was a, George was on the 911 call while she was on the call with Trayvon, and the times coincide, and I think there was 2 minutes between when George hung up from his 911 call to the time Trayvon and Rachel had hung up. So really nothing could have happened because the 911 call would have heard the non-emergency call that George had called, heard something happening before that.
She said at one point that she heard the sound of wet grass. Did that seem believable to you?
Well, everything was wet at that point. It was pouring down rain.
We're going to have a lot more tonight.
All right, y'all, what do you think about that? What do you think about it? Do you see how white America views us?
Shalom, shalom.
If you have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. I'm going to open back up the mic to Pennsylvania, and I'm going to open the mic back up to Brother Dawid so we can get comments because these people are talking. If you have a comment, a question, or anything, please push 1. What do you think about how white America views us? Because they certainly have a method and a way of changing everything around to best suit themselves. And did you hear what she said? She says, no, I felt sorry for her because of the environment in which they were raised and how they act and where they are from. There's no, like Pennsylvania said, that wasn't a jury of his peers. They would not put a black man on the jury because they knew this all is just a sham. It's a kangaroo court is what it is. Go ahead, you guys. What do you have to say?
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, sir.
Sweet guy.
Oh, no, okay. I wanted to give you the floor, brother, because I heard you trying to say something.
I wanted to say that anytime that you get a white jury, be it a bunch of snowballs or white monkeys, we ain't going to get no fair we ain't going to get no justice. You understand? It's set up that way, the extermination of the black race. You understand? And they all do it, and they do it in such a manner that it's even unconscious to them that when they do it. So it comes as no surprise. You understand? We're going to get railroaded in this country until we make the changes. If we want it to change, then we got to do something to make it change. Hallelujah.
Well, I just think it was all a bunch of propaganda anyway. You know, I don't think that any normal person would look at this case and see that George Zimmerman was the victim. That just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, they're like saying that he had some MMA fighting skills. He's 17 years old. Okay, I train martial arts. I've been training since I was 13. I'm over 40 now. And at 17 years old, he got to be a bad brother to fight a gun and a man that outweighs him that much. Okay, and he didn't even fight MMA. He was like soccer or football or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that wasn't even the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If he was an MMA fighter and you look and say, wow, he actually was really good at this, and you see his sensei come in and start to talk about how he was a good student, then we could be like, well, he was skilled in that. But he didn't have the skills. So if he didn't even have the skills in MMA fighting, then that statement is irrelevant because he didn't do any of the techniques. All right? He was just killed. The boy was killed. He was murdered. Now, as for this lady that was on the jury, obviously she's racist. You can hear it in her voice. I mean, they selected her out of hundreds and hundreds of people. They actually filtered out the ones that they knew were going to make them lose the case and got the ones they knew to help them win the case. And she said only one jury did the job correctly. Meaning was, she said, we don't know for sure if it was Zimmerman or Trayvon Martin because it's all speculative. So how can we say it's Zimmerman, right, and not Trayvon? We don't know. And I can guarantee you that the one jury that did that was the one that was a minority. She don't want to admit that. They're not going to tell the world. But she was the only one that was thinking clearly in this whole case that wasn't biased. Okay? And now you got like 5 women and then 1 minority woman. You ain't got no men there. You ain't got no black men. If they would have had a black man, it would have been a hung jury.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So we know the deal. Oh, and one more thing, sister. The girl, in defense of the girl, when they showed her on CNN, she has like an overbite. not that she's ignorant. She said that she's, first of all, she's young. She's embarrassed. All right. She's trying to speak, and she has a problem with her teeth. Did y'all hear that?
You
anybody
okay?
know about that?
All right.
She has a disability with her mouth. It's not. It has nothing to do with her intelligence.
Isn't that what they always attack when it comes to? Because I know myself. I've been in situations where I have had to stand up for myself. I've always stood up for myself, even when I was her age. I was always that one that stood up for myself and could articulate myself very well, and they still tried to change the point of what I was trying to say by my passion that I had behind the words that I was trying to say. So they're always going to attack something that we do because they want to say, see, I told you they don't know how to act. See, I told you they have a problem and they have anger issues. See, I told you those people are out of control.
Yeah, and she was just an easy target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That is correct.
Absolutely. So in response to all of that, that is why, you know, we're having this show today, because we are marching on Washington November the 1st. We are coming right behind Al Sharpton and his group, and we're just going to let it, we're going to keep on coming and let them know the difference between our group and their group is we have the answers to the problem. We have the solution to the problem, but we've got to find a way how to present that solution and not allow them, because they're going to attack us anyway, either way we go. But we're coming. We're coming intelligent. We're coming professional. We're coming in peace. But we are coming. And that's why we need everybody to come together and build a nation. We need to stand up, because if we don't stand up now, it is over for us. Not to mention the stop and frisk law. They have our young men. Now they can really have our young men afraid of them. They can stop them at whim and frisk them for no reason at all whatsoever. No reason. Just because he looks like he might be carrying something. That's a violation of our civil rights.
Violation.
They have been slowly stealing our civil rights out from under us. And if we don't stand up as a nation and be a nation and separate ourselves from this, we are going to be in trouble.
That is correct.
And I'll open up the floor.
Yeah, that's legalized racial profiling. Because, you know, they've been doing that to us for years anyway.
Yeah.
Now it's just legal.
And, Brother Dawee, didn't you say that they're doing it in Sweden, too?
Yeah, they call it something else, though. It's like it's for the immigrants that come here. And if you look like a minority, and you know black people, we obviously... You know, what's black people doing in Sweden? I heard incidents from brothers. They just stopping them. You just walking down the street, they'll be like, "Come here," and they check to see if you got drugs. Check to see if you whatever you have on you. Look, they can look at the bike number, see if your bike is stolen. I mean, they're going through hell, and I haven't been through that yet, because I have ways of just avoiding people. But when I do go through it. You know, y'all gonna hear about it.
I hear you. I know that's right.
So this is international. This is just not limited to the United States. They're doing it all over the world. Like you said, all over the world. We got the same problems in Haiti. We got the same problems in the Caribbean. We got the same problems in Cuba. We have the same problems all over the world. Wherever we're dispersed, we have those problems. And the Most High is trying to tell us it's time to come together. It's time to gather ourselves together, come together and be a nation. And you know what? Old Israel, and I want to say old Israel, the older Israel, and that's to exclude you, Brother Adonai and Iman and some of the other elders that are on the line. You know what? The other ones that are older and the ones that are not sure, you know, our thing is this. If you stop being scared. It's time to stand up. Because if we don't do something, our children are done.
That is correct.
Our children are done. They're done. I'm telling you, it is over. If we don't do something right now, it is over for our children and our children's children. They are erasing our culture. They are erasing our history. They're even erasing us in the history books as coming over as slaves. Now they say we were coming as indentured servants. We were coming looking for jobs.
Ooh, my Lord.
Ooh, I got area code 314 on the line. Area code 314, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom to all of us on the line.
Shalom.
Ima Hadora out of St. Louis.
Shalom,
shalom, my brother. You know, one of the major things is that all of our solutions is in the Torah. But we've been told they changed the name of the script, they changed it to Bible. About religion. We've also been told that don't even go to the what they so-called the Old Testament, because in going back there, you might find yourself, you see. So therefore, the Almighty have already let it be known. We are trying to find a physical solution to a spiritual problem. And until we go back, the Almighty's words are clear. They're not complicated at all. When all of these things come up on you, the judgments and the blessings and the judgments, and you remember them among the nations where you shall be scattered, and you and your children turn back to me and do all that I have commanded of you to do, then I'm going to reverse these issues that you're having, and I'm going to put them up on the other nations. Well, we go to church. We join organizations. We identify ourselves by what status quo we're in. We identify ourselves by what shade of skin color we have. We identify ourselves by our color or our hairstyle. But you know what? We have yet to come into the overstanding of nation. So we keep running around in the same vicious circle, doing the same things, and looking to the same solutions to resolve our problem. Whereas the Almighty have already told us, there is no one that can deliver you out of my hands. And the proof is in the pudding. They talking about 50-year anniversary coming up for Martin Luther King, 15-year anniversary coming up for the Million Man's March, and all of this good stuff. And yet, after all of that, the civil rights movement, the voting rights, and all of that, we're still singing, we shall overcome someday. He said, the Almighty said, go, in Ezekiel, the third chapter, go and tell my people whether they will listen or whether they won't, for they are most rebellious, stiff-necked people. We keep running around looking for answers, but everywhere we're to find them, that's back to our God. And until we do that, we're doing nothing but deceiving ourselves, running around in this vicious circle of deception and looking for smooth things and smooth words, and we're going to continue to watch our children die in these streets out here. It's not just a judgment that's upon the Hebrews here in America. Yes, and I use that term strongly. Hebrews, we're not black people. We're not Negroes, colors, African Americans, or a host of all these other bad words we have become known. But this judgment is for the Hebrews wherever they've been scattered. I heard you speak earlier about over in Jamaica, Haiti, Nigeria, over in Africa, all the lands over there. We still got our people still over there as well. Over in Asia, over in Europe, the word said you shall be scattered among all nations from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods. We've got to let these gods go. We've got to let go of these different titles and organizations that keep us divided. If it was positive, we wouldn't have this discussion today.
Hallelujah.
But obviously, that's not working for us. But we cannot operate outside of those artificial barriers that of divisiveness that we have come to embrace over these years. So therefore, we keep going back, hitting our head against that wall. Keep hitting our head against that wall. But Almighty says, when you all do what I tell you to do, then this is what I'm going to do. Until then, you go serve the other gods.
keep on listening to man-made traditions, keep on looking for all these solutions everywhere but where I told you to look, and it's back to me. I relinquish the mic.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, all right. It's getting hot and heavy up in here. I think that's a beautiful response. Anyone else have a comment against that? And before you say that, let me open up the mic. The mic, please, if you have a question, comment, concern, please push one. We want to hear what you have to say because this is very important. I mean, you know, whenever, and like I said, not only do we have to deal with the Trayvon Martin issue, but we have to deal with the issue that we're killing each other. We have to deal with the issue that we are sometimes our worst enemy. But, and we will address those issues. And for those of white America that is listening to this broadcast, we want you to know from the Nation of Yehuda and the United Nation of Israel, we will address those issues. Those issues will be addressed. That does not give you the okay, though, to kill our children in the street. Our issues are our issues, and we're going to deal with them. But when something is wrong with our judicial system, when something is wrong with the way that we are portrayed still, we are still looked on as three-fifths of a human being, we have something to say about that. I mean, and this is what this is all about, to wake up our people and let them know. Until we come together as a nation and start standing together and call on the Most High, this is going to continue. I don't care how many churches you build. I don't care how many pastors, how many bishops. We done had enough of that stuff. It ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working.
That is correct.
So anyone that wants to push one, please feel free to. Questions or concerns, anyone that wants to come back after Imam Hador, please feel free to do that now. Brother
Shalom,
Donia,
shalom.
You going to say something?
Mm-hmm. Shalom, shalom. Donia, Gavir, she's absolutely right. You understand? You know, so we got, you know, we got, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. This is a historic moment for Israel. You understand? It might not mean nothing in them white folks' books, but this is going to be written in our history books. The rebuilding and the coming together of the United Nation of Israel. You understand? All we got to do is stand up. It starts out small. If you want something big, you got to start out small. You understand? In order to make successful, so we need to just going the way we're going. She keep turning these wheels. You understand? I know. See, once this thing start catching on, you understand, it's gonna start rolling faster than we can ever imagine. You understand? But the Almighty here is the key. We got to keep the Almighty in His place. By letting him know that we appreciate everything that he's doing for us. We are a miracle in itself. You understand? A lot of us, our brothers and sisters, are not here anymore. You understand? We get the opportunity to start this stuff, to put this stuff in motion. You understand? How are you going to be read in the history books? That you knew something and didn't do nothing? Hallelujah.
That's right. And I want to say something as well, too. And you know what? I'm kind of upset with Israel today because we've been on this phone for about the last 3 weeks just in inviting you all, asking you all to make donations to help us do what we need to do. And I made two phone calls last week, to two different Christians, told them what we was doing. They immediately got off the phone with me, went on PayPal, and donated money instantly, just like that, with no questions asked. Well, how much? Where do I need? Where do I go? What do I need to do? We got to get better at this because guess what? They don't mind giving. They don't mind giving their resources and their money. And we're on this phone call every week begging and asking and pleading and please, just a dollar, give a dollar. Come on, Israel. But you know what's going to end up happening? I'm going to tell you what's going to end up happening. Y'all's going to bring some people in the scene that's ready to do what needs to get done. And I was always told that you're going to get an opportunity to show up. But at the end of the day, if you come lagging, he's got somebody to replace you, and it's going to be done whether you like it or not. And don't get mad when they get up in the forefront and do what they need to do. And I heard this pastor preach a message years ago that I'll never forget. And the topic of the message was, when you could have, you didn't, and now you want to and you can't. You got to remember that this thing is serious and we need resources. We should not have to beg our own people that are conscious to give a few dollars to help get this thing done. We shouldn't have to do that. That shouldn't have to be done. There's no reason why we spend more money on other stuff. But I'm telling you, I made two telephone calls, too. And I said, this is what I need. This is what we're doing. And I need some help. And they said, how do I get to PayPal and what do I need to do?
Hallelujah. You're absolutely right. And I say all the time that if you're sitting on the fence, send your money. If you're skeptical, send your money. If you got them ifs, ands, buts, or maybes, send your money. The reason I say that is because right at that particular time when the Almighty broadens our understanding and reveals certain things to you, you're going to understand that this is the way to go. You're going to want to help to build a nation. You understand? At that point, you'll be already in the pot. You understand? Then you got to vote. You understand? Because that's what it's all about, man. The nation of Israel is going to sponsor the nation of Israel. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. You hear me?
Absolutely.
Just by saying
yes,
one
we can
other
hear you, Brother Dolly.
Okay.
If I may.
Can
you? And that is that, and I would like to reiterate and emphasize, Israel, we're speaking to you. It don't matter whether you call yourself a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or by the name of an organization or a color, you are the seed of Yaakov or Jacob.
That is correct.
People of the captivity. You're the ones that was prophesied that was going to be carried away out of your land to be scattered among all the nations in everybody else's land. You were the one that was prophesied that would no longer be known as Israelites, but will become a byword and a proverb, Negro, color, nigger, African-American, Afro-American, Kaifa, Cushy, whatever land we were scattered to, there's a name equivalent for us. You are these people. You've got to come to the understanding that you're not. We're the only people on earth that identify ourselves by our religious beliefs, our color, or the organization we belong to. We're the only ones that do that. All the lands that we were taken captive to. But the Almighty said these things would befall the children of Israel. And now that you're in these lands, the word has also told us that they have taken crafty counsel against you, saying, let us cut them off from being a nation, so that the name of Israel will be no more in remembrance. So, therefore, that's why you're able to listen to the tapes that Sister Yaina played today. Our people on there justifying the killing of our children. Have taken on the same mindset as our oppressor. That's what the Almighty told us not to do. When you go among these nations, don't take on their ways. Don't look upon how they serve their deities. Don't marry their sons or their daughters. And we've done all of that. Because they will become a snare for you, O house of Israel. That's why today we are committing crimes that we never thought that we would ever see our people commit. Now we're doing anything and everything. The more we go among this people and take on their ways, the worse we become.
Yes.
And as far as education, only thing you're doing is being educated to keep your oppressor in control over you. That's why you don't have no banks of your own, no hospitals, nowhere to, you don't even have a halfway house that you can bring your people when they come up out of these warehouses called prisons. We don't even have a halfway house that we can bring our people to bring them back to health again. So, therefore, we're running around we're in this mindset of division. And if you talk about nation, we don't think that's a cool thing to talk about because we don't understand what that's all about. We know what it's like to be a slave, and we have become comfortable in these lands. That's why when you have sisters like Sister Yaina or any other calls, to come forth is going to bring you up out of this mentality, which means returning you back to knowledge of who you are and who your God is. You'll run just as fast the opposite way. Oh, man, I ain't into all that. Talk to the hand. Do you believe? We've got to stop this foolishness, Israel. And I address Israel as you being, whether you're a Christian, believing in all these other deities, or a Buddhist, or a Muslim, believing in Allah, whatever you believe in. That was already prophesied. You shall go and serve other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. And the two major religions that have our people ears today is Christianity and Islam. The wooden cross and the cobblestone.
Yeah,
you have no knowledge of who you are. You have no knowledge of who your God is. And we can blame in the word of the Almighty, he sent Israel to these lands to be chastised.
That is correct.
And he even told you in Isaiah, he said, I gave them to you, but you showed them no mercy. So they've got to pay for what they're doing as well. But Israel, you've got the judgment begins in the house of Israel. Spare now, spare not, tell my people their transgressions. Y'all got to turn back to your God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Dawid, you
want to
say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, sister from Pennsylvania, I'm so happy to hear your voice. And I just want to say I really love you because I love everything that you say, and it's very powerful. And
Hallelujah.
Sister Yaina.
Yes, sir.
Now, you're a minister, right?
Yes.
Now last week,
a minister for Israel, yes.
Okay, now last week, now I mentioned this. And Brother Adonia, now I know you said that if we do it, it'll turn into a cult. But this is, I'm still going to say it again, and I respect what you say, and I understand what you're saying. But we need to make sure that we keep that in the forefront of our mind so that it doesn't turn into a cult. Maybe put like anti-cult literature or whatever, but we need to build our own type of ministry, like that of the Christian ministry, and therefore pulling our Christians out of the bondage that they don't know they're in. But it has to be a spiritual organization that has power like that, that we can come together on certain days and speak about it and empower each other. And sister, you already have that experience, and you know a lot of Christians. Just bring them over to a new organization under the nation of Ayah. And Ayah is not, and what kind of, how can it be a cult if it's worshiping our Creator the correct way that's based on the Torah? You see what I'm saying?
I do. I understand what you're saying. Let me say something to that effect real quick. I believe that this is, let me say I believe. I know. I'm not going to say I believe, but I know what the Most High is doing, and it is his responsibility to wake them up. Now, you're talking about Christianity that is hundreds of years old, especially the black church. The black church has evolved out of the Roman Greco version of Christianity, and they believe what they believe. They have set up protocols. They have bishopships. They have orders. They have ordinations that are very similar, if not just like the Catholic Church. They go through the same rituals for a bishop that they do in the Catholic Church. So these men are so staunch that they won't change. Now, it's such a cunning deception that you have to be very, very careful with how we approach the people. And I think that the best way to do this, and you're absolutely right, these people have been in this organization for years and years and years. You know, they have committed themselves to worship. They've committed themselves to praise, and they've done all of these things. Here's where the issue is that when you start dealing with nation building, because when you start telling them you're not a Gentile, you're a Hebrew Israelite, you're not a stranger being inducted in, you're a bloodline baby, and this is your inheritance. You know, that is powerful all by itself because it gives them a sense of self-respect. that you are proud to be black, irregardless of the fact of what we've had to endure. I wouldn't want to be anything else. When that Bible tells me that I'm the apple of his eye, that is so powerful in itself. It gives me a sense of security that I know that no matter what you try to do, he's always going to be coming for me. I'm going to be the main focus of why he is even coming. So I try to stay away from creating another religious organization. What I'm trying to do is allow the Most High to wake up his people, and as he brings them to us, then from there we can develop our own worship service the way we do it as Hebrew Israelites, but coming out of it knowing who they are. It's very difficult to penetrate something that has been around forever. It is.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand.
It's hard. I mean, because you got people that have believed without, I'm going down this way, this is the way my mama did it, this way my daddy did it, and this way I'm going to do it. And nobody can wake them up but the Most High, because he fixed this thing where you're not going to get the glory, I'm not going to get the glory, Iman's not going to get the glory, Adonijah's not going to get the glory. He said, I will not share my glory with another. So even though we're in this battle and we're trying to wake these people up, we have to work at his pace, however fast or slow it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you so much.
It's difficult. It's hard. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's so hard. I cry sometimes. I'd be like, man, this is
me too.
You hate to see.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you hate to see it, but there's nothing you can do about it.
Sulika, let me try to pick them back off what you said if you're through.
Yes, sir. I just want to make a quick comment. Anybody have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. We love to hear what you have to say. If you've already pushed 1, your mic is still open, so you can interject as other people finish talking. We want to hear what you have to say. We have a lot of people on the line. Go ahead, Brother Donion.
I think that, what you said, Adon, is valid, but I think personally that's a personal endeavor. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that should be put, you know, you write up all the facets of that, put it as a proposal, and we still going, in order to finance that, you understand, it's going to take some money. So my whole concept here is that while we have this opportunity, because the Almighty said he was going to do certain things, you understand, and he's going to turn this captivity, you understand, in our eyesight, you understand. So what we have to do here now is we have to do our part. He commanded us to gather ourselves together as a nation of peoples.
Yes.
Now that doesn't exclude all of those people that do not know themselves. That includes all of those peoples that need to be gathered together in this forum. Because see, all of those people is going to be the same peoples that when they cut these programs off, they're going to be suffering too. You understand?
That's
so, but it's going to have to start with Israel. You understand? And we got to pay more attention to establishing ourselves as a nation. You understand? By supporting ourselves, we can't. You know, right now you couldn't get a dime from them people. You understand? In this state, the way it's falling apart. You understand? And we got to stop looking at the fact that these programs that we are on, you know, the government programs, the Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, welfare, food stamps, they're gonna be cut off. We the only people first people that's gonna start starving. So we got to be conscious of that, man, more so than anything. Pinch yourself. This is real life here. You understand? This is not no mystical fantasy world. You understand? We are in trouble in this society. We don't have nothing going for us. They got a brother on YouTube called Dr. Umar Johnson. Google him. You understand? He has a lot of conferences, speaking and things that's online there. One in particular is Truth to Power. I really need you. I really want you to look at that. You understand? Because that gives us a sense of what we need to be doing. Like I said early in these radio programs, you understand, is that in order for things to be established, it has to be established in Yah. So all the things that were put in motion by all the other peoples that didn't know themselves, that was not established in the name of the Almighty. So they only going to be there for a few minutes. Those were only things to sustain our livings to this day right here where we trying to find ourselves, trying to get ourselves together, trying to put Israel on the map. Hallelujah.
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 Thing, and then I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to go on mute. And the Almighty brought me into knowledge of self back in 94. And from that time up until now, I've heard so much about temples and kinets and camps and all of that. But you know what? I believe in the word of Yah. And I've searched his word as to find out what do we need to do. Mm-hmm. I have yet to find anywhere in the word of Yah where he told us to go to the lands of our captivity instead of temples. I've yet to find anywhere in the word of Yah where he told us to go set up a priesthood. I've yet to go and find anywhere in the word of Yah where it tells us to go sit in a building once a week, every week. What I did find in the word of Yah was that he told us when these things come to our remembrance and we find ourselves in trouble in the lands of our captivity, Deuteronomy the 32nd chapter, to turn in the 4th chapter, to turn back to him. Seek him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. I found in 1 Kings 8 chapter, when we're in these lands of our captivity and we turn and we face our land, we don't even talk about our land.
Nope, sure don't.
When we face our land and we cry out to Yah and we Almighty to forgive us and to forgive our forefathers and have mercy on us and return us to our land. We don't land. It's not even discussed. We've been told that this is our land. Jamaica's our land. Haiti, wherever we were carried captive, that's our land now. We don't even think about our land. But again, the instructions as well is in the book. It's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. But what make it complicated is we keep adding the word, the conjunction, but, to the word of Yah. Yeah, I know what it says, but. Yeah, I know what it told us to do, but. Yeah, I hear you, but. You see. So therefore, and as the Almighty told us in Isaiah, he said, since you all love, I would just like to read this real quickly, and then I'm going to go on mute, and I'm not going to say anything else, I promise. But I got to read this.
Tom Chi.
Because Yah's word is real. Now, go write it before them in a table. I'm reading from Isaiah, the 30th chapter, starting with verse 8. Go write it before them in a table, note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of their God, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy words of deception, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith Yah, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, y'all stay there. We keep trying to do this thing outside of Yah, and it ain't going to happen. Yah is our power. He is our deliverer. He is our savior.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to believe that. As a matter of fact, I know we don't. We talk the talk, but the walk is not there.
That's right.
Until we do what the Almighty said for us to do and turn back to him as a nation, go gather thyselves together, O nation not desired, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you. I'm going to end with this. There's a lot of catastrophes taking place today. Trayvon Martin was a travesty. But in 11, in Miami Beach, they shot a brother's car up 160 times.
Mm-hmm.
He was hit 27 times. And
good.
The police lied, saying that he ran over another police car and tried to hit the policeman. They didn't find no marks on this brother's car. Then they say he was trying to get away from the police, but the brother, they shot him sitting at a stoplight.
Mm.
And they said he shot first, but they found a gun in his car, but it had never been fired. So Trayvon Martin is just one of many travesties. While Trayvon Martin got killed, how many more of our babies were being killed at the same time throughout this nation? Not just throughout this nation, throughout this world. So therefore, we've got a spiritual problem. And until we address that spiritual problem, we're deceiving nobody but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say that I commend you, my sister and elder, I commend you as well for out here trying to do what the Almighty told you to do. Cry aloud and spare not. Tell my people their transgressions.
That is correct.
Stands in the house of Israel. I'm going on.
Hallelujah.
All right. Anybody else, Brother Donia, you have something to say or that we behind that? Because, you know, I want to say something before you do, though. I want to let everyone know we have 26 minutes before we go into overtime. So if you know anyone that you think would benefit from the call and listening, please call them and tell them to call in now. Because at 5:30, you will not be able to call into the show. It will only be able to host those calls that are already on the show. If you drop your call at 5:30, you cannot call back in. So please make sure that your phones are secure in the calls. And we just want to let you know, I want to put a plea out to all the mothers, all of the mothers of minorities, the black mothers, and all of the mothers. We need you to show up to Washington, D.C., because we have to make a stand. We're the ones who birth these children into the world, male and female. We bring our babies into the world to grow up as adults in this captivity. We have built this country off the backs of our ancestors. And you know what? We're always going to be treated the way we've been treated. We've got to come together. And when the mothers start coming, the children will follow. We need the mothers to show up, to make a stand, that we do have something to say. And let us go before our Creator and cry out, because the time is now. It is now. All of this happened for a reason. This is happening for a reason. And what floors me is, the establishments that have been around forever in Israel and that have been here forever, let me say something to you. And I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, but I think this needs to be said. You have to understand something. And I know that Chicago is supposed to be the hub of the Israelites. It's supposed to be the capital of the Hebrew Israelites. Well, let me say something to you. And I know you have elder groups and groups that have been that run so-called Chicago and do whatever it is that you all do. I don't have a problem with that. I respect everyone in their respectable position. But the Most High already knows the group of people that is going to go forward. He already handpicked the people that he knows that he wants to represent him. So we're going to move forward. Now, we want you to be with us. We want you to stand with us. But whatever it takes, we're going to do what we need to do. What we don't want to see happen is that you are like the Leo on the clip that I played, that you're defending the position of Babylon by not participating. If you're not going to participate, then pray for us. But we don't need enemies in the camp. We need you to support us 100% because we're the Joshuas and the Calebs of our generation moving toward what we're supposed to do, and we're just like Joshua. If he said we can take it, we can take it now, and we're going to take it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want any opposition. If you have anything negative, we don't want it. But we would love to be able to, when we walk through the streets of Washington, D.C., that place where we have on the Capitol building holds 38,000 people. Do you know how powerful it would be to have 38,000 Hebrew Israelites walking the streets of Washington, D.C.?
Hallelujah.
Come on. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. That's what Yah wants. He's waiting for you to stand up.
That is correct. That is correct.
So, Brother Adonia, you have the mic. I'm like Ema. I'm not going to say nothing else. Go ahead and do your thing.
Not until the next time.
I can't help it. I try real hard. I try hard not to say anything, but I can't help it because I'm packed. You know, coming, I see my people. I see my people, and I look at my people, and I'm in tears because, you know, you 70 years old, almost 70 years old. You've been in this thing a long time, and it breaks my heart because we are the most powerful people on the planet.
Hallelujah.
You know, I was teaching, and let me say this because I better say this real soft. You know, I do teach, and I did find out that there are no women teachers in Israel. And I'm like, wow, for real? I teach. And you know what? I was teaching yesterday about the relationship between Israel being the wife and Yah being the husband and the fake Jew being the mistress. And I came out of Ezekiel chapter 16, and if anybody hasn't read that, you need to read Ezekiel chapter 16, because he breaks it down, and he told her that he adopted us as a wife. And if I could paraphrase it, he said, when I met you, you was nothing. You didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but when I found you, I gave you the best of everything. He said, I gave you the best linen. I draped you with jewels and silver and gold. He said, you ate the best meat. You ate the best of everything. When the other nations saw you, they looked at you and wanted to know, who are those people? He said, because I took pride because you was mine, just like a husband takes pride in his wife. He said, I loved you. He said, and you went whoring after other gods. And what struck me about that chapter, he said, was, he said, just like a whore gets paid, you didn't even get no money for your whoring. You took my stuff and gave it to somebody else. He said, I stood back and I watched you in anger. He said, like a husband watches his wife in adultery. He broke that thing down. I said, oh, my goodness, look at what he's telling Israel what we did. And now we won't even stand up. He said, so since you're that way, I'm going to set you in the midst of those nations, and I'm going to let them strip you. I'm going to let them take everything off of you that I gave you, and I'm going to send you back to the state that you were in. And if I have to say anything to Israel, I want to say we've been stripped. If you don't realize where we came from, when you look at the most richest Arab in this world and all of the splendor that they had, we had twice as much as what they had.
Yeah, yeah.
We've fallen a long way compared to where we were from.
Yeah.
So, and they got to that the mistress, the one that he's giving all of our stuff to, because he said, I'm going to take it from you and give it to another, a people that's not a people, a foolish nation, and so that I can provoke you to jealousy. Isn't that what a mistress does? She provokes the wife to jealousy. And now we got to watch these other people with these big old black hats on and curls hanging out from under them and tassels all the way down to their knees, professing to be us, and get an attitude, because I get mad every time I see it, but we did this to ourselves.
That is,
that
is correct.
It sure did.
Yep.
He said you was my wife. You was like a wife to me, and I took care of you. I gave you the best, representing me, and you took my stuff and gave it to somebody else. He said you didn't even get paid. Oh my goodness!
That is terrible.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's terrible when you really read Ezekiel chapter 16. I'm telling you, when he broke it down. You know, and I gave it to the people the way the Most High gave it to me. It was like, oh, my goodness. But you know what the beautiful part about it is? though there's a mistress, we still the wife.
Yep.
We still, and guess what? We have the papers because the covenant is with us, and we still have his name. So there is still hope for the relationship to come back together and that we can love on him because he's ready to love on his wife again. So we say that to Israel, stand up, come on.
That is
and
correct.
I'm going to relinquish the mic again, Brother Donnie. I'm so sorry. I apologize.
No, I understand. That was powerful.
That was powerful.
You understand?
If you go to and you follow, somebody has a sense of humor. He don't mind letting you know what his thoughts are. In the 23rd chapter of Ezekiel, and it also speaks about the two sisters, the whole blah. And the Almighty goes so far as to say it wasn't enough that they whored, but they had to go and get those that were well hung like donkeys. He don't mind mincing his word. I mean, he don't mince his words. He tell it like it is. He said
that is correct.
Israel did. He gave Israel their wine, and they turned around and gave it to their lovers.
Mm.
He said, laid out on the ivory couch, you know, opening her legs to take all of them off. And then when they finished with the, they threw her aside, and then he says, when they come, all broke down, then they want to come back to him.
Oh, my goodness. And that's what we did. And you know what? When you realize that that is the relationship between him and us, you got the few Israel, please stand up. I mean, I'm begging you to please stand up. All of you old elders and whoever else in Chicago, please put aside your differences, cut loose all the traditions, all of your protocols and all of the stuff that got us in the mess in the first place, and come to Washington and march with us. We need everybody to stand up. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
You know, it's so simple. Like, we know that times, well, the Almighty have already let it be known, Yaina, that he's going to have to put the rod on Israel to make them come back and bow under the covenant, he said. So it's as simple as this. They say it's 40 million of us here. Let's just cut that number in half and say 20 million donate a one-time offering of a dollar.
Woo! I said that.
Hallelujah. That's what we're trying to do. They too busy smoking weed. They too busy smoking weed. I think they say hi all the time. Come on, don't buy your weed this week. Put it in PayPal.
That ain't going to happen.
They too high. I mean, for real, don't buy your marijuana this week. Let's deal with PayPal.
We are indoctrinated with Willie Lynch. Because you start talking about let's donate $1 so that we can begin to sit down an economic base so that we can begin to help our people. Well, who's going to keep the money? And what am I going to wrap my dollar?
Look, we're going to figure it out, Al Gavera. We put this here together. We need, you know, see, you know who's going to keep the whole of money? The congregation of Yisrael, the United Nation of Yisrael. They're going to elect officers, you understand, to represent, and out of those officers, they're going to elect people to run those agencies. You understand? There's a way that it can be done. We just got to be.
Elder, I'm in agreement with you. I'm saying these are the arguments that Israel puts forth. Again, the Almighty has given us the governmental structure in order, and we've asked the elders to come forth so that when our people are in trouble and they need to have their cases aired out, we don't have to go to this man's system.
That is correct.
Go to our own system and have our own elders to rule over our cases.
That is correct.
Do it. We asked that we got people out there. We got I didn't know we had so many black attorneys until Trayvon Martin. I didn't think we had one. We got black attorneys coming out of the woodwork. But you would never know it. Because when have any of them outside of Brother Shabazz, when have any of them stood up for our people? You see, how can it be all of these black attorneys and yet none of them have come into the understanding that according to the Constitution and according to the Dred Scott case, we could never be considered citizens of this land?
Mm.
The most we could be is dual nationalists, and that could work on our behalf. But how many black attorneys have come forward with that understanding? So therefore, if we're not citizens, we were deemed second-class citizens through the 14th Amendment, and that's only to give us whatever rights they deem necessary for us to have.
Ooh, speak the truth.
But our people don't know that. It's a big-time secret. That's why we are 67% of the prison population.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You see, our people, when the word says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he told the truth. Because when they go to the churches on the first day of the week, they're not going for no knowledge. They're going to be entertained.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be told what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Never comes to their understanding that Oxnard is honoring the Ashes Master Cribs, but my people won't even consider. How can they sell you on a subject matter that nobody has been there to tell you about it and come back and tell you about it? They tell you about all about going to heaven, but who's been there?
No, I know that's right.
That's right. Absolutely.
All your money to them to create their mansions and their limos and their television to keep you believing. And it's in our face every day, because when you go to our people and you begin to speak, what this does say, well, sister, let me ask you one question. We can solve this right off the bat. Do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
You see. And in response, no. But my question is, why do you believe? Where's your evidence?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
You see. So, Yaina, I'm going to get off this phone. I done took up all your program. Didn't mean to do that.
You're fine. Don't apologize.
And all that's online for doing what you're doing. And because I'll be the first to say, dealing with Israel, you cannot be a faint of heart. You can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to have some help.
If you don't have the love for Yah, you can't deal with this people.
Mm-mm.
You see,
mm-mm.
But because of their love
you
for
up.
Yah,
they're
with,
up. Especially if you're a girl.
Yes.
They're yes. Such if you're a girl, but you know what, Ema, they got the right one.
I know.
I feel
you. They got the right one this time, you know, because Most High done called me to the carpet. I'm from the royal house of King Dawid. I'm not going to hide
that.
It. I ain't ashamed of it, and we're going to do what we need to do, because today you have the right one. We got the right girls at the table this time. As long as we got you with us, and you know what, you're much older and more seasoned, and you know what, we going full stream ahead. So if the guys are scared, then the girls going to step up and do it.
Well,
we
the girls got to do it anyway.
Yeah.
The Almighty says in that day, I'm going to do a new thing.
Yes.
I'm going to use the woman.
That's
right. Yes.
That's right. The girls going to do it this time. If the guys, if y'all scared in Chicago, stay in Chicago. But the girls is going to step up this time, and we going to do it.
I heard that.
And to the sisters that's in the listening audience, you carry the future of this nation in your womb.
Yes.
Who are the mothers of this nation? As a matter of fact, you're the mothers of the earth.
Yep.
That is correct.
Because the Almighty said that the earth, righteous rulership is coming back through the nation of Israel.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So if you are the daughters of Zion, you carry the world in your womb. That's how powerful this is. For you are God's covenant. You are his covenant ones. You are the apple of his eye. You're the one that he loves. you say it all the time. I hear our brothers and sisters that are still in the Christian persuasion say all the time, he only chastised those he loved. Well, he chastised
right.
because
right.
he loves Israel. And you got right more and more. And I just want you to pay attention to this last thing. Yah's judgment is in the earth.
And
it has entered into the earth. All of these catastrophes that you're witnessing, it's not going to get better. It's going to get a heck of a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. And it's even the time of Yaakov's trouble. But this time is going to be like no time ever witnessed by man since the beginning of man.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes.
But he told Israel to fear not, for you shall be saved out of it.
Hallelujah.
You need to know who you are, Israel. Let go of these lying preachers that's keeping you deceived, that's keeping you in a state of falsehood. Let them go. Seek out your God. Seek him out diligently. Those that diligently seek me shall find me, thus saith Yah.
Yes.
So you are the sisters. You carry the world's future in your womb. Stand up. If the brothers won't come, you come.
Yes.
You come.
Yes.
You show
up.
Hallelujah.
With
Hallelujah.
That, I'm going to say, I'm going on mute.
All right. How many times has she and I said, we're going on mute? It's the girl's time, though. Now you got, it's the girl's time. And the most I said, if the men won't do it, the girls will. We'll get the job done. We're going to get the job. I'm going. If he tell me to go, I'm going. I told you that a long time ago. I'm going. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going. And I'm going with assurance that I'm going to be all right. And I'm going to do what he said do. And I'm going to call his name. And we're going to give him praise. And we're going to let him know who we are, that we are here. We know the mysteries exist, but we the wife. And we're going to stand up as the wife that he loves with his name, with our covenant contract, our marriage contract in our hand, that it is an everlasting covenant and there is no divorcing Israel, that as long as the sun and the moon and the stars are in the air, Israel will be in existence. So we're coming. The women are coming.
Yep.
I am truly proud of you. I just want us to stand. Stand for Israel.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Stand in the name of Yah. You understand? Sing praises to his name that we may perform our vows. The dead praise Yah, nay any that go down into silence. So let us extol our God while we have life. Sing praises to his name that we may perform our vows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can I share something? I really, thoroughly enjoyed listening to this broadcast. It's like I'm having an eye-opening, awakening moment, for lack of a better word. Like I'm having a spiritual awakening. I've enjoyed everybody that I heard have dropped something into my spirit, and I just know that this is my season, you know, learning about the nation of Israel and my true heritage. I'm just feeling, you know, Yah doing a new thing in me. And I'm so grateful for the connection and for each and every one of you I've heard speak. And this broadcast, I like to, you know, figure out a way where we can tap the whole world into it. I mean, you know, bring them to the knowledge that we're talking. It's funny how I went from knowing absolutely nothing about the nation of Israel or the nation of Yehuda as recent as 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I can't say it. It's like, you know, I feel an overwhelming, exciting, overzealous. You know how it is when you first get something good, you get happy and overzealous and you just want to run to the mountaintop and tell somebody when you first fall in love. And, you know, that's what I'm experiencing right now. And
And I'm very grateful. I heard someone refer to someone like me as of the Christian persuasion. You know, I'm a babe, and I don't understand everything, you know, but I'm listening. But I just want to tell you all that I'm very grateful for this broadcast, because each and every one of you have dropped something into my spirit today. Now I'm going on mute.
Yeah, totally.
Look at what's happening, you guys. You see what's happening? This is powerful. Well, look, we got 4 minutes left before we go into overtime. Anyone that has anyone that they want to have on the call in, please do that now. If you're on the chat line, please call in, because you will not be able to participate at 5:30. Look at what the Most High is doing. We got people that are coming from the Christian background, from the Muslim background, and they are listening because they want this. They need to. It's time for us to come together. It's time for us. It's going to be time for us to get out of here in a minute. You know, it's going to be time for us to get out of here in a minute. And, you know, the Tea Parties and White America and the what do you call those white people, the white supremacists, they've been telling, we don't want you here, niggas. We want you out. Well, guess what? We're leaving in a minute.
That is correct.
We're leaving. We're going to let you have this whole thing. We're going to let you have the whole land and everything when we leave. But I guarantee you, when we leave here, you're going to feel it. Because there's going to be an economic collapse, because you're going to feel it. When y'all takes his people out of America, it's over. You're going to feel it.
That is correct.
We're leaving. We're on a timeline, but we are leaving up out of here. So, you know, that's the purpose of the nation building, is to get our people prepared. And like Ema said, some of them are going to go in the first wave when the whole group go, and then the other ones going to have to be whooped out of here, but they leaving too.
That is correct.
They leaving too.
Absolutely.
See, when they come into the understanding, America was raised for one reason and one reason only, and that's to chastise Israel. Her prominence has been because Israel is in the midst of her, Yehuda, specifically Yehuda and Levi, you see.
Yes.
So the Almighty says when he pull them up, America won't be fit for man nor beast.
Mm-hmm.
Nor beast. Woo! Lord, have mercy.
It's going to return to his own land, you see.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Mm. But our people don't know it because they haven't been taught, entertained. They have not been taught. They don't know the word of their God. As the word says, my people don't know me. You see. But the Almighty is beginning to reveal himself. He's tapping to our memory banks. He's beginning to open our memories. How else, if you're not that people, how else could the Almighty says, when these things come to your remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
How could they come to our remembrance if we have no knowledge of it? But Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, the Almighty let it be known, not only do I speak to those that are standing here this day, but I speak to all that are yet to come.
Yep.
In our DNA, you see. That's how deep this thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And
Israel has been doing, because they didn't grab hold to the Greek writings, they're no different than Esau and Jacob.
Yep.
They're trying to give their birth right away. You are the Savior that's in the earth, Israel. You are the one that the world is waiting on.
That is correct.
And
no other solution.
That's the word of Yah.
That is correct.
You're the one that will that. North, east, south, and west. You see.
That is correct.
You're the one that's looked up on us. They find no comeliness in you. They desire you not. You ask anybody would they want to be a nigga. And they say how fast they answer you.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Not for real. Woo! Mighty is not playing. He does not play. Mm-hmm. And his word, you can take it to the bank.
Yes,
his word does not fail. And we are living out everything he said will befall us. It's like Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the proverbial Cinderella shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can try it on. Some can get the feet halfway in it. Some can get their toe in it. Some can't get but side of their feet in it. But it only fit one foot perfectly, and that's the feet that those judgments, the people that those judgments was going to be falling up on or was prepared or prophesied for, and that's the children of Israel. We fit them all.
We have fit them all.
Because this is not our first captivity. As a matter of fact, this is our last captivity.
Our last. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. This is it. It's over after this.
After this, and all you all that's out there talking about the 400 years, this is the 400 years that y'all spoke about.
Yes, yes, it is. Yes,
not the 430 years in Egypt.
That is correct.
That's right.
400 years, this last captivity. We've been all over the world in captivity. That's why when he came and got us this time, we knew what we knew to play. They didn't have to tell us to put our hands behind our backs.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's right.
You see.
That's
so,
right.
I'm definitely going to leave with this because I've got to go. Don't believe nothing we say. Don't you dare believe it. But in that instance, don't believe nothing anyone tells you without going and researching it.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Because you need to know it for yourself.
That is correct.
See? And you go and pray and ask Yah to open your eyes and open your heart and open your understanding. You see? And any time some pastor come up, I don't care who it is, and they begin to tell you all this junk,
is he still there? Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh.
Okay. The word tells us again that we have got to turn back to Yah. And if they telling you something, and they can't take you back to the word of Yah and show you where they got it from, you better scratch them.
That's right. That's right. That is correct. That is correct. Absolutely. It's too late in the game to be guessing. It's too late in the game to be guessing.
And the last thing to let you know for sure, but it was the 13th verse.
We can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Almighty never gave us the first day of the week. He gave us the seventh day.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody running to the whorehouses on the first day of the week, Yah didn't tell you to do that.
That's right. Absolutely.
May Yah be with us all. I love you all. I gotta go.
Thank
you.
Hallelujah.
All right. Shalom. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank her for her involvement, her comments. I mean, when you have the elders speaking, it's a blessing. You know that they are here to give us advice, to give us leeway. And like I said, this is an opportunity for us. I want to let everybody know on the line that we need your help. We're asking again, we need you to go on paypal.com and type in Nation of Yehuda, YEHUDAH, and donate funds, please, for the march. We need all of the help that we can get. We need everybody's participation. Call a friend, call a sister, call a family member. Brother Dawid, we thank you for your contribution. Brother Donia, we thank you for your contribution. My sister's on here. She's a lieutenant commander in the Navy. We thank you for your contribution. She's in Maryland. We thank you so much for your contribution. My other sister's on the line, and she made a contribution today. And we just want to thank everybody who believes in what we're doing. And a couple of people mailed their contributions in. And if you can do that, that's fine, but we would much rather you put it on PayPal for us because it's easier for us to maneuver. If you don't want to do that, you can always send it to P.O. Box 18263, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45218, under the Nation of Yehuda, Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. We need to get these funds in as quickly as possible.
We have literature that we're trying to print up so we can pass out in Washington, D.C. We want to put up posters in every city. If you want to get a poster or one of our promotions, we can email it to you so you can print it off and hang it in your beauty salon, hang it in your church, hang it in the laundromat, hang it in the grocery store, hang it everywhere, all over every city so we can get everyone engaged. And, again, if you have a question, comment, or something that you want to offer, please push one. We still have quite a few people on the line. And you guys can go ahead and take it from here. I promise I'm going to try not to say nothing else. Brother Donnie, are you there? Hello? I think he might be on mute. Yeah, I can hear you, but Brother Dawee. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just making sure you can hear me. But I'm just sitting back listening now. I'm enjoying it.
Well, you know, Brother Donnie, I usually have something to say. I'm surprised he is not talking. Are you there?
Oh,
Brother
I was,
Donnie,
somebody
know?
Else had called me. Dorashia, she called me, and she said she missed the call for the day. You understand?
Oh, okay.
Somehow. Anyway, yeah, I agree with everything that was said today. I think we were on fire today. You understand? It gave people, at least we got, you know, I think Iman said something about the first and second waves, you understand? We must leave the door open because when we come over there, you know there's going to be some people that's last-minute folk, you understand?
Yep.
And we're going to have the door open for them folks, you understand?
Yes,
but
it's
all about the Almighty, man, and giving him the glory. As soon as we find out that this has been all being orchestrated by the Almighty, we get a different perspective on life here. You understand?
Yes,
it allows us to see things differently. You understand? I know that we're going through some stuff, man, you know, and that this is for our eyes to see and our minds to remember, you understand, what has actually happened to us in this captive state so that we won't repeat these things. You understand? I remember, the time of Ezra and Nehemiah when there were 750,000 people that was in that captivity in Babylon. Only 42,000 of 42,000 came back to rebuild the temple. You understand? So we know from that estimate, it's not going to be everybody. You understand?
That's
some people are just embedded in this society. You understand? Like woven into a piece of carpet. You understand? They not going to change. I heard some people on the TV who profess to be the Christian, and they said that they not going to change. That's the wrong thing to say to me. I mean, because, see, you understand, that means that you cut yourself completely off.
That's right. But guess what? Guess what, Brother Donnie? The Most High knows how to make you change. You can say what you want. That's why I played that song today. Don't say what you won't do. Because at the end of the day, it's going to get so bad over here that some of them going to come crying. The scriptures say they're going to come weeping. Crying, what do we do? Show us how to suffer. Where is that Torah we supposed to keep? Because they've been told through Christianity they weren't supposed to keep the law. They're going to come crying. Where is that Torah we supposed to keep? Show us how to do that. So we ain't got to worry about that. They coming, whether they come willingly or whether they come kicking, screaming, and crying. Oh, you going to come. So that's an issue that we won't have to deal with. So, you know, we've gotten everything out, I think, that we need to say today. I want to say to everyone again, November the 1st, we're marching on Washington. We're starting at the corner of 7th and Constitution Avenue. We have reserved the area at the Capitol building for our demonstration. We have mics and podiums and stages and literature that we have to get out that we need for the event, and we're asking Israel to donate funds so that we can make this happen. If you want to be a part of everything, email us at Nation of Yehuda, and Yehuda is spelled YEHUDAH at yahoo.com. Also, we need you to go to PayPal. When you hang up this phone, we need you to turn around and dial in the PayPal or use your computer, go to paypal.com. Type in Nation of Yehuda at yahoo.com and donate some money to help us get this thing done. If take up collections at your church,
Tell them it's for, we're marching on Washington for the injustice, and our group needs money. Take up money, donate it. We need everyone's participation to donate money so we can make this happen. But most of all, we need real human bodies to be there. That the area that we reserve holds 38,000 people, and we need 38,000 Hebrew Israelites and 38,000 unconscious Hebrew Israelites to march with us. We're going to universities, colleges, churches, schools, everywhere we can think of to get participation. Please join us. Please support us. And if that is it, we'd like to say we thank you all for everything that you've done. We thank you for being constant listeners on this show. We definitely will be here next Sunday, same time, 3:30. Brother Dawid, do you have anything you want to say before we say so long?
No, I'm just happy to be participating, and I hope everybody takes what to say to heart and donates and participates. Shalom, sister.
All right. This brother's calling from Sweden. He's living in Sweden, and he's calling in from the show in Sweden. Brother Adoni, do you want to say your farewell?
Yes, shalom. This is Adoni from Atlanta, Georgia. I want everybody to know that I love them, and there's nothing that they can do about it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Sis from Philadelphia, we thank you. If you have anything you want to say to everybody, we can hang up. If not, we'll give you a moment.
Oh, I just wanted to say again, you know, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to sit in and listen. It's been an eye-opening experience to keep doing what you're doing.
Hallelujah.
All right. And on that note, we say we love you. Love is the flavor for the day. And the song that we're playing before we go out is Don't Say What You Won't Do by Anthony Hamilton. And we'll see you next week, Israel. Thanks a lot for joining us. We love you so long.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry, don't walk on by, and I, walking by people looking for handouts. So far up on your high horse that you can't even hear that voice screaming, please
help me.
For these few bucks that you give to me, I can help save you and your family.
Donation so we can get this thing moving. See you next week. Love you. Shalom.